Wow, I keep shaking this ball, and all I get is the number 8. Where's the snow? I told my psychic I wanted to know if I was going to win the lottery, and she asked me for the numbers. The death card keeps showing up in this deck. Maybe I should get a reflector on my scooter. I keep dreaming about frogs leaping into my bed. This book says I'm just horny. Having a bad day at the Wheel of Fortune? KarmaCast has answers. Check out KarmaCast.com for show listings and time. KarmaCast.com is a division of Mayhem Media.
Shadow governments, strange rituals, new world
order. Shadow governments, strange
buried treasures.
New
planetary
mind
control.
Military cover-up. Shadow governments. New world order. Planetary mind
control.
Corporate
Out there. Out there. It's a strange world.
Visit outthereradio.net for more information.
Where'd he go now? Did he go outside to play again?
It's like we've never done this before.
I think we're going to have a personal meeting with...
executive meeting. Can I be included this time?
Oh, I knew it was coming up. I knew it was going to happen on the air.
And I'm Doug.
Yeah. Let's try this again. This is Ghostly Talk. I'm Scott L.
And I'm Doug.
And I'm Bonnie.
Let's just start with this. April 15th, 1865. I'm going to throw that date out, and then I'm going to read this little thing right here.
Well, you know, that makes me think of taxes. Every makes me think of taxes.
It's ironic when you think about it. Richard Salva became interested in reincarnation and yoga philosophy in his teens when he moved to Anada yoga community in the Sierra Nevada foothills. About 10 years ago, Richard received the inspiration to write a book based on, Yogananda's statement that Abraham Lincoln was reborn as Charles Lindbergh. For 8 years, Richard pored over scores of books, studied old newspapers and magazines, visited sites where Lincoln and Lindbergh had lived, and interviewed historians and experts, and discovered nearly 500 significant and startling ties between the two men. Wow. Richard, welcome to Ghostly Talk. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing great. It's nice to be here.
Excellent.
It's nice to meet you, Richard. Your website, of course. What we have written down is www.crystarpress.com/soul_main.html.
Yeah, that's the page for the book.
Goes right to the book.
Yeah, that goes right to the page for the book.
So everybody, write this down, crystarpress.com/soul_main.html. Goes right to the book.
It'll go right to the book. Check this out. Now the date.
Another quicker, easier way to get to the website is to just do LincolnReincarnation.com. That will take you to another of the pages, and from there you can just check around.
I didn't find that page. I'm sorry. LincolnReincarnation.com.
Yeah, that'll just take you right to the site.
Google.
There's my good media reporting right there. I'm really accurate. Sorry about that, Richard.
Oh, no, that's all right. That's probably my fault.
April 15th, 1865. That was last Sunday for us, and we were actually in Batavia, New York, at the Supernatural Summit. We were originally going to have Richard on that day because that day was the day Abraham Lincoln was assassinated.
It
is the anniversary.
The anniversary of that day.
And I thought it was, you know, we've actually tried to have Richard on. I think Richard, we tried to have you on this time last year, didn't we?
We've gone through a few hits and misses.
Yeah, I think we
finally made it.
Yeah, we finally pulled it together here. Logistics worked this time.
Yeah, all the stars came together or something.
Well, I have to say what's really interesting is for some reason a lot of things come down to synchronicity. And one of the things that I've been talking about a lot recently is Edgar Casey and reincarnation. Mm-hmm. And I really do think that Edgar Casey has something, and I really do think that if he says that there's reincarnation, even though he didn't believe it in his waking life, his sleeping prophet life says that there was reincarnation, and so I do believe in it, and I've had one you know, one of those past life hypnosis thingies, and it was really, really enlightening and really, really interesting. So I think that there may be something there. Mm-hmm. But what you did, Richard, it sounds like you went and you took two very living guys. Well, not at the time that you were investigating them, but,
yeah.
you know.
They were alive. We're fairly sure they were both
who
alive.
Who were alive and who were historical figures, and you investigated them and found interesting corollaries between the two.
Mm-hmm.
Why?
Well, starting with a statement, Yogananda said Abraham Lincoln had been an advanced Himalayan yogi in a past life and that he reincarnated as Charles Lindbergh. To me, this is like an interesting, fascinating historical mystery, a big metaphysical mystery in history, if you will. And so I thought, well, I know a lot about the practices and teachings of Himalayan yogis because I've been practicing and teaching them myself for about 20 or 30 years. And I also know that Abraham Lincoln and Charles Lindbergh were so famous that pretty much every part of their lives have been scrutinized and written up. So there's all this factual data there that if somebody were to go in and just check it all out to really study these books and really just find out the information of people who knew them, the, knew how they behaved, knew what they, their habits were, what they tended to do, and so on, and then to compare them, I wondered whether it'd be possible to find correlations. And then, as you were saying, I ended up finding close to 500 significant connections between the two men, which I didn't know what to expect. I thought I'd find a few interesting connections. I had no idea I would find that much, and it just really blew me away.
Okay, this is what we need to do, Richard. We need to go through every single connection.
In less than an hour.
In less than an hour, go.
Start now.
Okay. You know, actually, with the anniversary having been last week, I thought it might be interesting just to sort of talk about what happened to Abraham Lincoln's spirit after he was shot.
Yes.
I've studied the history of it, and he was in a sort of a coma for quite a while after he was shot. They moved his body from Ford's Theater, from the balcony there in Ford's Theater, and down the stairs and out into the street and across the street to a boarding house, which is called, I think it's called the Peterson's House.
Mm-hmm.
And that, they took him upstairs there. There was a man there, waved them in, said, "You can bring him on up here." And they laid his body on a bed there. It was so long that they had to lay it diagonally on the bed.
Yeah, he was a very tall man. Abraham Lincoln was a very tall man.
Yes, in fact, that's very true. He was, he was six. Well, for that period of time, he was very tall. He was about, let's see, a little bit over 6'3". And Charles Lindbergh, by the way, was only about an inch shorter, a little over 6'2". They were both very tall, especially for their time periods. But anyway, so he laid there and they summoned his wife and his children, and they came. And so what happened? He was sitting in the balcony listening to that play happening, and then suddenly somebody came behind him, and they believed that he had heard a sound because he started to turn his head, and then he was shot. And at that point, when something like that happens to you physically, depending on your karma, but for most people this is true, your spirit will pull out of the body just leaving enough of a tenuous connection to keep the physical body's functions going on as long as they will. And for him, this lasted for a certain number of hours before he passed away.
Mm-hmm.
So his spirit almost certainly immediately left his physical body as soon as the shot was fired. There was no chance that he was going to be revived, and there's a certain amount of studies that have been done on people who have been involved in some sort of physically damaging accident where suddenly they find themselves popped up above their body and they were looking at it from above.
Well, we've heard that a lot of times about people.
Yeah, near-death experience.
Yes, exactly,
yeah.
That sort of thing. And we can imagine the same thing happening with Lincoln because this is a very sudden thing. And to have himself just sort of aware of his body and what was going on around it. Now, Yogananda said that the sense, what he called the sense telephones, disconnect one by one as we leave our bodies. And he said the last sense to leave our bodies, or the last sense that we're aware of as we're leaving our bodies to go into the astral world, is the sense of hearing. Now, Abraham Lincoln, as soon as this happened, there was a lot of commotion in the theater. As we said, his body was moved. When he was set up in the Peterson House laying on the bed, his wife came. She it was very, very painful for her, as you can imagine, very dramatic. He probably heard some of these things going on, even though he was almost ready to totally leave his body. And also, there was a doctor there who held his hand. He, to some degree, may have been aware of that, because depending on, you know, how quickly each of the senses were left, his son was there, his older son Robert, various members of the cabin, people who knew him and loved him. And then when he took his last breath, I think it was in the early morning hours of the next day on the 16th, he left his physical body. And then Secretary Edwin Stanton said, now he belongs to the ages. And at that point, his spirit left the physical world completely. And as we say in the near-death experiences, what happens is you go in through this tunnel. And the yogis say that what that tunnel is the astral spine, which is actually much larger than the physical spine. And we're not talking about a backbone here. We're talking about a channel of energy. And going through that channel of energy is like going through a tunnel. And then you go out through the spine. Your spirit goes out through the spine. It's no longer connected to the physical spine because you've left that physical body. But you're going through this astral spine, this astral tunnel, and you come out at the light at the top of the spine, at the spiritual eye, at the point between the eyebrows and the astral body. And you go through that, and you go out, and you're now totally in the astral world. You've left the physical plane behind. And for Abraham Lincoln, what was his experience of the astral world? Well, we're drawn to various areas of the astral world, you know, and Christ said, in my Father's house are many mansions. And the idea there is that there are many different areas that you can be drawn to depending on the quality of your consciousness. And Abraham Lincoln, in my book, I do a study not only of the circumstantial and social, physical connections between him and Lindbergh, life experiences and so on, life relationships and so on, but I also do a spiritual connection with him, and it shows that by the yardstick of daily habits, Abraham Lincoln was a very spiritual man. There's a reason why we revere him so much. He wasn't a great saint, but he was a very highly advanced spiritual person. Mm-hmm. And so he would be attracted to a very high astral plane. And when he arrived there, he would have experienced a lot of joy, because you have to think, what did he do in his lifetime? He held the United States together through the power, greatly to a large degree. We're still one country because of the power of his will and his attunement with what was trying to happen then on a spiritual level. And he also freed the slaves, which was a great blessing for all those that he freed, a great blessing for their descendants, a great blessing actually for the world, because in America it was pretty much the last stronghold of slavery at that point. It had been pretty much kicked out of England and other areas of the world. I think there are still a few pocket areas nowadays, but we don't want to go into that. But he had done something really amazing and had been an instrument of the divine will in the world. And so he must have gone to a very high spiritual plane full of light and joy and beauty and music and wonderful experiences, meeting people that had gone ahead of him. Just a wonderful feeling, this great joy inside himself, being able to just soar over landscapes, you know, just wonderful experiences like that. And according to Yogananda, he was in the astral world for about 36 years, and then he felt pulled back to the physical plane. His karma drew him back, any desires he had for the physical world drew him back. And then he came back into a woman's womb in Detroit, Michigan, and was reborn in 1902 as Charles Lindbergh. This is according to Yogananda.
You know, and what's interesting is this is my observation, because this is going to sound really funny. It's going to sound really goofy, but you know, Abraham Lincoln in history, I mean, obviously he's a very revered man. There's a lot of documentation on Abraham Lincoln. I've never heard anybody like. There's a lot of past presidents we talk about in retrospect and go, God, what an idiot! I don't know how we had this guy working for us. But you never
like the one we have now.
Oh, that's a whole other show.
That's a new show.
Yeah. But the thing is I've never. I've talked to a few people. I'm not a historian by any rights, but I've never heard any like negative things about Abraham Lincoln. I was thinking like it's.
I've heard interesting things about his family unit, you know, because there was Mary Todd Lincoln. And
well,
there was
yeah.
His, the kid, the sickly kid, or whatever. But the.
Yeah.
But him himself. I mean, you never hear.
Never about him. He was always, you know, above beyond reproach. My question, Richard, when you are in one of these mansions, you are no longer living, and you're up there. I've always heard it's your choice to come back or not. And
yes.
He chose this. I mean, he wanted to come back. He
yes. Well, see, you have to remember when Abraham Lincoln was killed. He had just finished his great work. He'd held the country together through the Civil War. Mm-hmm. About less than a week before he was shot. Robert E. Lee surrendered at Appomattox. So the Civil War was in its last legs. There were still men dying on battlefields, but it was basically over. Mm-hmm. And this was one of his great works was just, you know, holding the country together through this great turmoil. Like I said, he had freed the slaves. He'd pretty much done what he'd come to do in that lifetime. In fact, he had had visions, even as a young boy, of what his life would be like, that he would rise to a high place in life and that he would have a bloody ending. And he meditated on this throughout his life, and some people thought that was what made him melancholy. But the thing is, when you leave your body after having done all that, it's like you've got, we're talking here about the law of karma. And the law of karma is that whatever you put out has to come back to you. It's related to the law of duality in the physical plane. If you push a pendulum all the way in one direction and let go, it has to swing back the other way. And he was stolen away from the planet before people could really express their appreciation to him for what he had done. And so it was necessary for him to come back to this planet. It was necessary for him to come back to America, but also just this planet Earth as a whole, because people here needed to express their appreciation to him. They did after he died, but he wasn't there to receive it. He was in the astral world. So this physical karma needed to be balanced, and he was reborn as Charles Lindbergh, who at the young age of 25 flew the Atlantic, landed in Paris, and suddenly everybody in the world was in love with Charles Lindbergh, and he was given such a great reception. It was the greatest reception that anybody had known in all of history up to that point. And what he had done was pretty amazing, but still it was so far beyond what he had done, the reception, that it actually equally balanced what Lincoln was due at the end of his life. You know, it's rather interesting. When Lincoln's funeral train was traveling from Washington, D.C. to Springfield, Illinois, where Lincoln's hometown, mm-hmm. There were 30 million people guesstimated who saw him at various, they had various funerals in New York City and various cities, Cleveland, Chicago, various places along the way. They estimated that 30 million people saw him. And either in those cities and attended those funeral services, or just followed the train along the way and threw bouquets along the tracks while the train was going by and things like that. Soldiers shooting rifles in the air, different things like that, just to show their grief and their appreciation for him. So after Charles Lindbergh came back from his flight to Paris, he was invited by this whole country to, everybody wanted to see him. So he made a tour of America, and it's estimated that 30 million people saw Charles Lindbergh on this nationwide aerial tour, and he flew over the whole country and got to see the Grand Canyon, he got to see everything, like an angel hovering over this country from above. So it was rather a perfect balancing
there.
And that's really beautiful when you think. It's a beautiful story.
And it sounds really
I'm not calling it a story. I mean, I'm saying the way it's a beautiful thing.
But it does. It sounds like how nature balances out. It well, you know, everything.
Well, yeah, and that makes balance. Me think. That
I'm
makes me think
that.
You're making the whole system.
If the computer falls on me,
yeah. That's because I'm getting excited.
Well,
I have a question though.
Yes.
Why, when, and this isn't about them in particular, this is about reincarnation in general. Why aren't we allowed to have the memories and the knowledge and
yeah.
the experience and the personality that we had previously?
That's a good question, very good question. Well, the thing is, you have to think about everything that we experience in those other lifetimes. We really need to have a fresh shot at things when we come into a new lifetime. And sometimes, actually, children do remember who they were in past lives. More and more parents are sort of listening when their kids said, you know, I had another mommy, or, you know, gee, I was your grandfather, things like that. You know, sometimes you can tell that they're making it up, and sometimes it's so obviously true. Like, there was a story about a man who was just thinking about this, and he turned to his niece, and he said, and she was asking him to tie her shoes, and he said, what kind of shoes did you used to have before? And he said her eyes just sort of glazed over a little bit, and she said, they tied up the front like this, and she was showing, you know, like those old-style boots that would go from side to side.
Mm-hmm.
You know, with these long laces that would go way up the top, like in the Victorian era or something like that.
Mm.
And she had this look on her face. It was like she was remembering it. And she described, you know, those sort of boots. And then she sort of shook her head and said, nice talking to you. Got to go or something like that. Because it was very strange for her to remember that.
Raggedy Ann wants some tea.
Yeah, and there'll be children who will remember their lives and will talk about very adult subjects that they themselves could not possibly really comprehend. And but you're right. Most of us don't remember just offhand, or if we do, as children, we forget. And there's a reason for this sort of veil coming over our memories, because there's a lot of we go through a lot in our lifetimes, as you know, and we go through various pains, and some things are really crushing.
Oh yeah.
And sometimes we really fail at something, and to have a memory, to carry those memories, not only of the most recent past life, but the one before that, before that, before that, and say, you know, sometimes you have to work really hard at something a number of times you really succeed at it. And if you have memory of every time you failed in your mind, and to have that memory even as a child of all of that, it's just too much. And so it's really a blessing that we don't really have it in mind. It's good sometimes to be aware of our past lives, especially when they come up for one reason or another. There's a reason why they come up. And to try to tune into that, to heal and to grow through that understanding. But just to have that that memory generally for everyone when we're not really ready to deal with it, it's really a blessing that we don't.
Well, you know what? You said something a few minutes ago. Well, you said a word a few minutes ago. And whenever we have a guest on the show and they say this word, they're in big trouble because they're going to get grilled by me. And that word is karma. You've said it a few times. What I want to do, I want to take a quick break here, all right, because I have some questions about karma. As Doug and Bai know, I am a big fan of karma. I talk about it all the time, and I live my life around it. Maybe I'm a bit obsessed with it. You might be able to help me.
Except when it comes to his dealings with me.
Well, yeah, except when it comes to Bonnie, it's open season.
Yeah,
so.
That's just...
Wee!
But let's take a quick break, though, all right? And then what we're going to do is I want to ask you some questions about this and maybe how it applied to Abraham Lincoln, but maybe how it applies in our everyday lives, and maybe it'll help some people out, too.
Yeah.
Let's do that. This is Ghost Talk. I'm Scott L.
And I'm Doug.
And I'm Bonnie.
We'll be right back after this.
It's Zach again from ParatalkRadio.com, here to tell you about 6 Graphics. 6 does some of the best graphics for the internet. Paratalk uses her graphics, and you should too. She makes everything you could want for your page. Signs, banners, avatars, anything. Check out her new site at sixgraphics.com. That's SIXGraphics.com. Six Graphics, custom designs for paranormal minds.
Vishnu, the Dalai Lama, Isis, Baal. What do all of these ancient gods have in common with each other? They're all going down. World of the Unexplained, conservative paranormal talk. Big on God, big on guns. Our God could beat up your God.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is a little tutorial in GHI. We're going to teach you what to do when you first see a ghost. Okay? We're going to look for a ghost, and then if we see one, we're going to do the right steps of action afterwards. So, you know, you want to be calm. You don't want to do anything stupid. You want to sit there, say your prayers or whatever, make the ghost go away, ask the questions maybe. But whatever you do, you can't scream, you cannot run, you can't do anything like that. It's only going to make it worse. And it's not like you're going to outrun them, because they'll follow you wherever we go. So let's do it. Let's go. Follow me. This is the Church of the Damned, where it's known haunted. Very, very, very haunted. Books have been thrown, people have been thrown. And hopefully tonight we get some action. Very creepy, there's no lights anywhere in here, so. If you have a flashlight, you'd be good, which we don't, so that sucks. And windows, cracked windows, very nice, beautiful. So, and we're just gonna look around here. I'm just gonna stop right here. Come around a little bit. Is anyone here? It's good to ask you questions. Back.
Nick, check out that. Look at this corner. Look at the corner over there.
Corner. That,
go. No. Over there.
You are listening to Ghostly Time with your hosts, Doug and Scott L.
Four score and 7 years ago,
our fathers brought forth on this continent a new nation, conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal. We are now engaged in
somebody was
Civil
listening
War.
In history class in high school. You were the only person listening, I think.
Yeah. I absorbed it.
Richard, here's something I want to mention to you, and I think I think you had much more of an interest in this than a lot of us have. I know growing up in high school, like I just mentioned, when I had to sit in a history class, that was like pulling teeth, man. I couldn't do it. You get to a certain point in your life, though, which I have, I think, where history is like, it's like macaroni and cheese. It's like the finest meal you can ever have. It's like good pizza. It's like I live, breathe, and eat history now. That's part of what we do. We're ghost hunters. You know, that's what you do.
Yeah.
And, I mean, you've been doing this. One thing we didn't ask you, this is a huge project you've obviously taken on. What inspired you to do this? I mean, we always like to ask people, how'd you get started? I know it's a very open-ended question, but what got you started on this journey?
Well, I was actually flying east across the country, Shades of Lindbergh, and I was in between writing projects, and I'm a yogi and a minister, so I'm a spiritual person, so I just prayed for an inspiration, something to work on. I wanted a big project to work on, and within less than a minute's time, the idea for this book came to me, and it was a very strong, clear idea. It wasn't a vague notion at all, just it's like the sense of, you remembered having read this, that Yogananda had said this, why don't you look it up? And as soon as I started to get into it, it just took over my life for just a long period of time. I ate, slept, dreamt, you know, Lincoln, Lindbergh, and the Himalayan yogi in a past life. And it was so fascinating. I felt so excited working on it. And I felt like I was just sort of riding a wave of guidance, too. I mean, I had these experiences where I would read something about one of the men, and I would wonder about the other man, whether he had had something like that in his life. And I'd be in the bookstore or library, and I would see a book, and something would compel me to open it. And right on the page I would open it to would be the answer to the question I was asking. And this didn't happen just once, but over and over again. And it really just felt like I was just sort of, like I said, like I found a surfboard, just sort of riding this wave wherever it would take me.
And it's so cool, because I find with Ghostly Talk here, with our little show we do, mm-hmm. I think about a lot of the decisions we have to make doing the show. And I mean, over the last couple of years, it's gotten kind of intense. We've been making some decisions, I think, that are really important for what we do here. Not because we're going to make a ton of cash or anything like that. It's just that Doug and I have had conversations where we're like, okay, we have these things we have to do here. You know, what's the right thing to do? What is the best thing for us to do? And, you know, it's always amazed me over the last few years, especially, how a lot of things seem like they just, you know, we talk it over and it just kind of works out and falls into place. With a little bit of work from us, right? We have to put some time into it. But it kind of just falls in. And I feel the same way about what we're doing here. It sounds like the same thing was going on with your project, Richard, where I felt like we were kind of riding a surfboard and we kind of take it as it comes and we make the best of it. And it all seems to work out in our favor. That's why we have so much fun doing this thing, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it's amazing how what can happen in our lives when we just sort of tune in, you know, to what is trying to happen, you know, and just really just open up to, you know, what might come through. There's many stories like this happening nowadays and throughout history.
Mm-hmm. Karma. Well, go ahead, Doug.
Because I don't know if I wrote it down right. Lincoln Reincarnated or LincolnReincarnation.com.
LincolnReincarnation.com.
That's what I thought. Okay. LincolnReincarnation.com is where you can go link up directly and find the book that Richard Talva wrote.
Soul Journey.
Soul Journey from Lincoln to Lindbergh. Yes, that's
from Lincoln to Lindbergh. So
can I say it now?
Yes, Karma.
Karma. Now, I got to make sure I... I don't know where to start, because here's the thing. Let me just give you a little bit. Let me paint a little picture for you, Richard.
Okay.
I've had some weird things happen to me, especially in the last couple years. Mm-hmm. Very little goofy things that I, like, put a microscope on to the thousandth degree. Little things that I feel, and I've had the same answers from a lot of people, but I want to hear what you have to say about this, too. For example, this is a really goofy, well, you know what, I don't even know if I want to hit that. I'll just say, just oversight the thing. Small things that I do that I think that, okay, I'm doing this thing, it may be wrong, maybe I shouldn't be doing this, this isn't cool, and then something will happen to me like a day later that just like totally ruins my whole week or something like that, that really just gets me upset, stressed out, pressured, or whatever it may be. And I've seen this correlation sometimes of goofy little things, like here's a good example, like I cut somebody off in traffic and they honk at me and I flip them off. You know, and really, like, that's not cool.
Sounds normal.
Yeah, well, that's, though, you know, yeah, that's Michigan driving. That's the art of Michigan driving. But, you know, cool. Something like that. I mean, that upset somebody. I just upset someone. I didn't need to do that. What did I do that for? I could have said, you know, I mean, I could have been like, sorry, you're not going to hear me because you're in another car, but I'm sorry. But I'm, instead I throw my middle finger up and go, and I say whatever, you know. That's what Michigan people say, you know, the stuff we say here. And then something will happen to me, it seems like, in response to that.
Yes. Well, it's actually, what happens is, as you start to, let's start another place here. Karma, so a lot of people think that karma means punishment. But the word karma itself just means, literally means action. And, you know, it's that phrase, whatever goes around comes around.
Yeah.
Whatever you put out comes back in equal measure. It's a corollary to Newton's third law of motion, which is for every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. Mm-hmm. Whatever you put out, good or bad, comes back to you. And it doesn't always come back in this lifetime. Sometimes, you know, those things are like seeds sitting in the ground. And they'll wait there until the conditions are right for them to sprout. And they can wait for a long time. The scientists will tell us that there are certain seeds that have been around, I think some of them for prehistoric times or something, and they're able to sprout them just by taking them out of the tundra or wherever they're located.
Mm-hmm.
And put them in the right condition, the right heat, warmth, you know, everything that's needed for them to sprout. And it's the same with karma. Sometimes it'll happen right away, but sometimes it'll take a long time. But according to Yogananda, when we grow spiritually, karma comes back more quickly because we're interested in learning how this whole thing works.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that song Instant Karma by John Lennon, if you got a lot of instant karma in your life, don't complain. It means that you're starting to figure things out and you're actually moving very along very well, spiritually speaking.
Well, it goes both ways, too, I might add. See, I think a lot of people nowadays, they take for granted a lot of the simple gestures as people, right? A lot of the simple gestures I think that people do, for example, holding a door open for someone. It's a very minute thing. It's a very simple thing. But it's something that I try. I mean, I'm not really, I'm the nicest guy in the world here. But I'm not by any means. But it's something that I do a lot. I find myself doing it a lot. And I find myself, if I, like, I'm not paying attention and I forget to hold the door open for the person behind me from where I'm coming, I will turn around and go, oh, I'm very sorry about that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and of course they're like, no big deal, you know, relax, mm-hmm. calm down, guy, you're going to give yourself a heart attack over this. But it's these little things that I have been kind of paying attention to and thinking, you know, these are the little things that, these are the nice gestures, I think, with karma.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you kind of explained this to me, though, saying, look, karma is, you know, it isn't all about, you know, an action deserves a reaction. It isn't always about that. It can be something that like you said, it's a seed. It can be planted and sprouted at the right time when the time needs to come, I guess.
Yes. Well, the thing is that it's all under our control. Whatever we can set up, whatever our experiences will be in the future. It may not happen right away. That's why, you know, people say, why do bad things happen to good people? Sometimes there's a negative karma that sprouts, you know, right after you do something nice, but that doesn't mean that nice karma didn't go out there and isn't going to come back eventually. But
mm-hmm.
the more that you continue to apply this law consciously, the more you can really determine what your future experiences are going to be in this life and in future lives. Lincoln and Lindbergh had the experiences of karma in their lifetimes that I noticed. One in particular was when Abraham Lincoln's father was dying, and he wrote to Lincoln and asked him to come see him. And they had not had a very comfortable relationship. And so at that point, Lincoln, he had things at home that just sort of kept him there. He decided not to come. He said, it might not be very good if I were to come right now, also just from where my relationship with you is. And he just wrote him a letter. And so he didn't see his father right before he died when he might have. Mm-hmm. Now, Charles Lindbergh had a good connection with his dad. And his dad was dying, but Lindbergh was in the Army. And he wanted to go see his father right when his father was dying, but he wasn't able to. He was able to visit him. It's interesting, he was able to visit him a while before he died, but his father's condition was such that they couldn't speak together.
Mm-hmm.
Now, remember, Lincoln wouldn't go and speak with his dad. And when Lindbergh, even when he went to see his dad, when he was starting to get to the point of dying, he couldn't even speak with him because his father couldn't talk.
Mm-hmm.
And then when he wanted, really would have liked to have been there, right, when his father was dying, he wasn't able to.
Yeah.
So you see, this is how it just sort of goes back and forth. It's just, it's tied to a sense of ego. As long as we have an ego, something that it's all tied to, some sort of foundation for it, then something will have to come back.
Interesting. I just said that, an hour ago?
Yeah.
The other break? An hour and a half ago, as I said, I want to see more teamwork and less ego.
Well, yeah.
That's exactly what I said.
And that goes for everything.
I want to see it in archaeology. I want to see it in paranormal. I want to see it in life. I want to see more teamwork and less ego.
Well, absolutely. I think that goes for, like you just said, it covers all the things.
Yeah.
Now, in regards to Lincoln also, Richard, you said that when he passed away, when his soul left his body, he was attracted to these higher planes of existence, these higher vibrations. Naturally, he was attracted to that.
Yes, we go where we feel comfortable. If you're somebody who likes to argue and just is always, you wouldn't be happy in a place where there are people sitting around, playing harps and things like that. It would just be boring. You want somebody to fight with you. And so you go to a place where people like to do that,
Mm-hmm.
It's just a natural, you just gravitate to those areas, wherever you just feel comfortable.
That's a very interesting idea because what a person... It's hard to explain, but I think a lot of people may be conditioned to be, even in the afterlife possibly, if they live their life and all they want to do is be left alone and they want to be happy, but they're bombarded with all of these things at all times where they have to defend themselves, they have to stand up for themselves, and they find themselves in a constant state of debate.
Well,
right?
See, I was under the impression that after we pass on out of this life, we're rejoined with the rest of ourselves. I mean, we will remember, we'll know a lot more about ourselves because we had to forget a heck of a lot in order to physically be here.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll know a lot more. I mean, we'll know what happened and we'll know what we need to work on and successfully accomplished and what we messed up.
Yeah.
But we'll also know the people over there and the things like that. So I was under the impression that we got... that we are more than just who we are here once we get there.
Yes, this is just like a jacket you wear for a while, and it's comfortable to a certain degree. At first, it might be uncomfortable because it's stiff, and then you kind of work it out, and then it feels comfortable. It's just something that you wear this physical body, and this personality that you're wearing right now is in tune with your deepest spirit to some degree. But there are other personalities that are, just variations on the same theme, that you could be tuning into at other times. And it'll all be deeply in tune with who you are in your essence. But it's not the last word on who and what you are. I gave a talk at the Paranormal Conference in Las Vegas last fall, and my subject was why we are all ghosts. And just talking about how we are really spirits, that we just inhabit bodies for a certain period of time. And but the thing is about this physical body is a ghost too. If you put your finger under an electron microscope, you see that there's these little tiny specks of matter whizzing around at this high rate of speed, that this vibration that's holding it together, the holding pattern of energy.
Mm-hmm.
But if you were to take it, the little specks of matter are so minute and there's so much space in between each one of them, It's almost like the distance between the space between the stars. And if you were to remove all that space, you wouldn't even be physically visible. And in fact, they say that if you remove all the space in this physical planet, everything on it, everything that we want and desire and coming back here for, you know, everything, you know, automobiles, gelato, you know, whatever it is, it would be this about the size, I think they said, of a basketball. And that's all the matter that's in the physical world. And it's all just one big ghost. It's all a mirage. And Yogananda used to say that this world is God's dream. So who and what we are is a spirit that's much larger than this physical body, is much larger than this personality. And when we leave our physical bodies, we become more aware. And it's true, we can even tune in to some degree to past lives and things like that, but we aren't quite there yet as far as being spiritually at our highest peak of what we can get to, and that's what reincarnation is all about. It's just this long, it's a process of spiritual evolution that takes place over long spans of time, where we start off acting like an animal and we end up acting like an angel, and so we when we get it back into our astral bodies, we're more aware and we're a lot bigger than we are here. But until we've really kind of learned our lessons, we haven't learned, we don't know it all yet. You know, we know a certain amount, but we don't know it all yet.
So life, mm-hmm. And this is something we've gotten really, like, you know, we've gotten our nails dirty on this before. Mm-hmm. Life itself, I mean, I've always thought that life, you know, this whole idea of existence, it is a learning process for us over and over again, possibly.
Yeah, not even related to that. Why does...
That's the way to keep it rolling, Doug.
Yeah, I know. How was that for a segue?
That was one of the best.
On a completely unrelated subject.
I like that one.
Isn't it kind of unfair? Because it bothers me. It does. It bothers me when other people's karma and life path and in recent cases... bad wiring of the brain and chemicals.
Yeah.
When other people impact
you,
other people like me or our friends or specifically, I'm talking about one really, really, really seemingly bad apple amongst a bunch of college students.
Mm-hmm. Oh God, Doug.
How can one person go that wrong? On this side, it just looks like he really was bad and really was wrong and really hurt a lot of people. Because
That man is hurt.
I figured out who you're talking about.
Yeah, were
the clues there, Richard?
The clues there? Yeah. When somebody does this, I have to give, you know, all the props to the Virginia Tech faculty and students and all the people what they're going through.
Man.
But I want to try and understand, how can one person, because he affected not only his own self, obviously, but that of 32 others, but
32
it doesn't
students, yeah.
stop there. It goes then into the
it's
faculty,
snowball.
It
it's
goes
snowballs,
into their family, it goes into their families' families.
It has affected the whole nation, we know that.
And now,
I have been affected, you have been affected, obviously, you're bringing it up. We're
talking about it. Because I worry about it, and I worry. How can one person's bad karma or horrible little life lesson that he had to learn affects so many people so profoundly, and why? I don't understand that.
Yes, it's hard to really comprehend, but people can make these, we have the freedom, we've been given free will, we've been given the freedom to make mistakes. This person obviously just made about one of the worst mistakes you can make. It's hard to even comprehend how he could have thought in a way that it would seem like the right thing for him to do, but this shows us the how far off base we can get. We can go, you know, we can become like angels, like I said, or we can act like animals, and we can do something like this that just causes so much pain, or we can do something like what Lincoln did when he freed the slaves, which just brought so much joy to so many people.
Well, yeah, talk about. Two opposite ends of the spectrum.
Yes, these are the polar opposites. And we can go really far in either direction, but our nature is eventually to go the way that Lincoln went, and the nature is to go the way that Gandhi, St. Francis, people like that went. Eventually, we're all going to go there. But when somebody does something like that, with all the pain that they bring about, they have to suffer to understand that it was wrong to do that.
Wow.
And it's horrible to contemplate. But somebody like that will end up, according to the law of karma, according to this teaching, it will come back, and it's a painful thing to even consider.
Well, you know, and in regards to that, you know, like, we didn't even talk about that.
Tonight. Yeah,
the thing with this gentleman, I didn't even want to call him a gentleman. I'm really going to sound harsh here because I've been thinking about this all week. This is really this is one of those situations. I talked to my dad about it a couple of days ago, and I'm like, you know, the whole thing with 9/11 was horrendous. It was a horrible thing. I was so upset about that. But for some reason, this situation, what happened here with this gentleman, this kid, and all these students, it really just really upset me. I mean, I've been pushing it away, obviously. Because it really upsets me to think about what happened to all these kids who were just in school, trying to better themselves. That's what really upsets me, is these people were in the process of bettering themselves. They were making a conscious effort to do something with themselves, make something of their life, and to be snuffed out like that by someone who clearly had no business of being in that university, who had no business being anywhere, in my opinion. It angers me so much. It's such a frustrating thought.
Well, I agree, but I don't want to talk about it. I want to talk about good stuff.
The best thing that we can do, when somebody, like we were talking about when Lincoln was died and when he was shot, for these souls who've left their bodies, the more that we can send them light, you know, the more that we can really kind of help their spirits. If we believe in prayer, we can pray for them. The more that we can do that, the more we can kind of help their transition. The more we can send light to those who are left behind, who have to deal with the pain of it. These are really helpful things to do. I understand your anger, and I feel that to some degree as well. But I know the thing that would help the most is the more that we can send light and light to those souls who left their bodies and for this.
Oh, absolutely.
That's a good thing to do, and that's something that we should do. Pray for them, send them light.
Yeah.
We only got to get one example. Of Lindbergh.
Oh, this poor guy, Richard, comes on the show, and we tell him he has to name off 500 of them.
Right, and then we only gave you time to give one example of how Lindbergh and Lincoln, and that was the father connection.
I
feel so bad.
But Richard, I need to thank you. Well, go ahead, Richard, I'm sorry.
Oh, okay. Well, it sounds like we're having a wrap up here. There's a lot more in the book. I wish we had more time. Maybe I can come back another time.
I would love it.
You name the time, we'll be here.
I'm telling you, Richard, but this has been fascinating because you've helped us. You've helped us in more than just writing this book. This book is obviously, it can teach people and it will fascinate people and it can make people think. And that's what I love.
Well, I think through the show, too, is
people. Yeah. But you've helped us on other levels as
that's
well.
That's what I want to thank you for, Richard, is just that. As you know, we maybe didn't talk about the similarities between Lindbergh and Lincoln all that much, but
we
have a better understanding about things.
Karma, yeah. About recent events, about frustrating recent events that seem beyond anything humanly imaginable. Wow, Richard.
Thank you so much.
I have to say thank you so much.
Lincoln reincarnation. I'm sorry, Richard.
Total pleasure to have been on your show, and thank you so much for having me.
We'd love to have you back again.
Do stay on the line, though.
Yeah, stay on the line.
Okay?
Don't leave us. Good way to come back here. Strong.
After 2 weeks of being off, and then we got this was solid.
Jerry Smith
and Richard Selva for coming on the show.
Jonathan Wiley, our man from Grimstone.
Thank you, Jonathan. Thanks for hanging out here in the studio.
He'll never be back again, probably. But
Lincoln.
I wouldn't blame him.
Don't forget LincolnReincarnation.com and also JerryESmith.com. Those were our two guests today.
Yes, thank you, guy. We'd like to thank our guests. Thank you all you guys out here listening to the show.
for better or for worse sometimes. we're back. We're back in full force. A lot's going on. A lot's going to be happening. A lot of fun to be had. A lot of learning to be had also, I think.
And plan a trip. Try and get out to – look at our schedules. Our appearance schedule is on the website at ghostlytalk.com. And look at them and –
We're really having a good time meeting people.
That's what we're doing.
We're really having a good time meeting people, and we'd love to meet all you guys. We're going to be going to a lot of stuff. Just go to the appearances page on the Ghostly Talk site. That's where we'll be. Come and hang out. We'd love to talk to you guys. I think we should leave, though.
Yes. With that, this has been Ghostly Talk for this week. We will see you all next week, same time, same bat channel, 6 p.m. till 9 p.m. Eastern time. So until then, have an absolutely fantastic week. Send light, send love.
Those poor kids, yeah.
Pray
take
for
care
those
of their
kids
families.
And their families over in Virginia.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. This has been Ghostly Talk. I have been Doug.
I have been Scott L.
And I'm still Bonnie.
She's in an awful hurry to get out of the studio tonight.
Go Red Wing!
Yeah, there you go. We're out of here, guys. Let's go to talk. Bye-bye.
I need to go someplace where a man can think.
To listen to now.
Balanced news coverage. Real people with real lives in your dramas and on your talk shows. And if we don't get it, we'll make it ourselves. Don't hate the media, become the media.
I need to go someplace where a man can think.
Don't hate the media, become the media.